All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapters 9 and 10. Exodus chapters 9 and 10, as we continue to study the Word of God and going through the book of Exodus on Wednesdays and continuing in Luke on Sunday mornings. And Father, we are so grateful for this time in your Word. Speak to us, we pray, and give us ears to hear it, Lord, and we pray that we will put aside anything that would distract us from hearing your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapters 9 and 10, and the title of this message is The Consequences of a Hard Heart, Part 2. The Consequences of a Hard Heart, Part 2. Now, in part 1 of this study, we saw what happened when Pharaoh kept hardening his heart against God. Plague after plague came upon Egypt. The purpose of these plagues was to humble him, and so too when we harden our hearts is to humble us as well. Then we saw how Pharaoh tried to get the Israelites to compromise their relationship with God. He told them to go and worship, but do it in the land. When Moses said, no, we're out of here. We're supposed to go 3 days journey. Then he told them, okay, you can leave the boundaries of Egypt, but don't go very far away. And we saw what these compromises mean in our lives personally last week. And now the story continues. Look in chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, go in to Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on the cattle, in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. Now, in these verses, we see God tell Moses to go tell Pharaoh once again, let my people go. And Pharaoh refuses. So the plague that brought diseases on all the cattle came about. This was God's judgment. You remember I said each one of the plagues, they were against the gods of Egypt. And there are several gods here of the cattle that they worship. They worship the bull and they worship the cow and different cattle that they worship. And each one of these plagues was against these particular gods that they worshiped. This meant that the Egyptian economy would be affected. Also, we see in verse 4 that God is making a distinction between the livestock of Egypt and the livestock of the Israelites. None of the livestock of the Israelites were affected. When Pharaoh saw this, verse 7 said, his heart became hard. I believe this is an area we need to be careful, because our hearts can become hard just like Pharaoh's when we are struggling in a bad economy. And we see others who seem to not be affected by it. And in our hearts, we can become hard. It's not something we will say. Maybe a few things will start slipping out, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But we begin to see others who maybe not even serving God seem to be doing well. And here we are trying to serve God and we're struggling. We need to be careful in this area, because our hearts can become hardened. When we are in a bad economy like they were, all of a sudden the hearts can become hard. Watch yourself during this time. Watch yourself during this economy. Because no doubt when our hearts become hard, then we start to make decisions out of a hardened heart. Well, I need to maybe move. Or I need to maybe get a third and fourth job. Or maybe I need, and we do all these decisions that God is not in. But because our hearts are hardened and we see the bad economy and we're looking at everyone else and what they have and what we don't have and what they're doing and how they seem to not be affected. And we make these decisions out of a heart that's hardened towards God, because we're saying in our heart, hey, I'm trying to serve you. And look, you allow me to be struggling like this. Be careful. be careful during this time because our hearts can become hard like Pharaoh's. Look at verses 8 through 12. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handful of ashes from a furnace and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt. And it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward the heavens, and they became boils that broke out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord has spoken to Moses. Now, in these verses, we see God tell Moses to take ashes from the furnace and scatter it in the air, and it will become boils that will break out on the people. I just thought that that was very ironic how they took ashes from the furnace that the Israelites slaved over to make bricks is now being turned on the Egyptians. It reminds me of what Galatians 6:7 says, that be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. The very furnace that the Egyptians had the Israelites slaving, making all these bricks, was now turned on them. This is the first plague that has a physical consequence to it. These boils broke out on man and beast, according to verse 10. And in verse 12 says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And this phrase means that God strengthened him in his position. Pharaoh wants to continue to harden his heart. God said, let me just help firm up what you're already doing. Seeing that this is the first plague that affected the Egyptians physically, how do you feel when you are affected physically in some way? And someone who isn't following the Lord is well and healthy. This is when we need to be careful and not allow our hearts to become hardened towards God. And we start to question his goodness in our lives. When we are trying to serve God, and all of a sudden we're afflicted with something physically. And we see folks on the job and they, you know, always at the gym and they're doing good and not even serving God. And here we are struggling and having a hard time physically. This is a time we've got to watch our hearts. Because when we start looking at everyone else, we can harden our heart and begin to question God's goodness. Asa, the psalmist, said, truly God is good in Psalm 73. He said, but my foot almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When we're looking at everyone else and what they have and what they're doing and how fit they are, they just, you know, they walk from the cubicle to the restroom and look like they lost 5 pounds. You in the gym for hours and, you know, look like you gained a pound. And you're like, what's up with this? You got to be careful and begin to question God's goodness. Look what it said there in verses 13 to 21. Said, then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet you exalt yourself against my people, and that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow at this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding to now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Now, there is something that I see in verse 13 that I almost skipped over. I want you to notice when it was that God spoke to Moses. When he rose early in the morning. You've heard me say for years that there's something about the early morning that God loves to speak to us. David said in Psalm 5, O Lord, in the morning, do I direct my prayer unto thee, do I look up. Jesus in Mark 1:35, now early in the morning, having risen a long time before daylight, he went out to a solitary place, and there he prayed. When was the manna was to be collected by the Israelites? Early in the morning. There's something about the morning time that God loves. Something about the morning that he loves to speak to us. I tell you, some of the best times that I've ever heard from the Lord has been in the wee hours of the morning. I mean, 2:30, 3 o'clock-ish. Some of the best times, some of the best decisions I've made for this church has been when I heard God speak early in the morning. There's just something about the early morning. There's just something about it. Something about it. So it's funny that it says early in the morning, God spoke to, that's when Moses heard, early in the morning. So God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh early in the morning and say again, let my people go. Then God tells Moses to say to Pharaoh in verse 15, I have stretched out my hand against you with this plague and that plague and with this plague and that plague, and you still refuse to let my people go. Then God said in verse 16 that you, Pharaoh, has been raised up for this purpose so that generations to come can know that I am God and that there is none like me. You know, many people and critics, they have a problem with this verse because they say that it's not fair to Pharaoh that God raised him up for this very reason. I have no problem with this at all. Pharaoh could have humbled himself long ago and submitted to God, but he chose not to. He chose to try to take God on. And God said, okay, you want to take me on? Okay. You'll be up way past your bedtime, Pharaoh, but you want to take me on? Okay. He could have easily have humbled himself, but he chose not to. He chose to try to be tough and hard, and it didn't work out for him nor the Egyptians. The same is true for us. Let us not fight what God is trying to do in our lives. When we harden our hearts, it has devastating consequences, like we see in Pharaoh's life. Now, it was the job of the servants to make sure that the cattle was safe inside when storms came. So when the word came down that God was about to rain down hail upon Egypt, everyone who feared God and brought their cattle inside would be spared. Verse 20 says that even the Egyptians, if some of the Egyptians obeyed, their cattle would have been spared as well. Now, many people cry out, why are these things coming down on me? Many times it's because we didn't heed the warning and the call of Jesus to come inside. There are many of you getting beat up and bruised by the storms of life needlessly because you failed to come inside of the shelter of the house of God. This is why Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the matter of some, but exhort and encourage one another and so much more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. I believe that we get beat up too many times because we fail to come inside the house of God during the storm. For some reason, we stay away when storms come in our lives. Then weeks later, when we see you at Sam's Club or Walmart or the mall, and we say, where have you been? You said, well, I just been going through. Instead of coming into the shelter of the house of God when the storms of life come your way, no, folks, stay away. I don't get that. Instead of coming into the shelter of the house of God, no, we'd rather stay away. And then we run into you because we are going to run into you. Where have you been? What's going on? Well, you know, you know, just things, you know, it's just life. And we say these things when we should be coming into the shelter of the house of God to be protected from the storms of life. And this is what is going on here. Look at verses 22 to 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Now, this must have been just an incredible sight, because I remember seeing it on the Ten Commandments. So this must have been really incredible. Raining down hail mingled with fire. No doubt it was igniting the fields and burning up the crops and the trees. And it was just, Egypt was a wreck. This was very devastating to the Egyptians. Surely by this time, here it is, the great Pharaoh seeing his kingdom crumbling down on fire. Surely he repents, right? Look at verses 27 to 33. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go and you shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord, and thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord. Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the pelt were not struck, for they are late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. Okay, now we're starting to get somewhere. Pharaoh is breaking down. It seems like he is breaking down. He's sorry, right? No, not really. He only wants the thunder and hail to stop. In other words, he only wanted the consequences of his actions to stop. He was not sorry for real kind of sorry. Now, I know some of you say, well, come on now, how do you know? He seems genuinely sorry to me. He said, you know what, forgive me, we're wicked, I'm wicked, my people wicked. And how do you know? You're putting that bad rap on Pharaoh. Well, I don't think he was genuinely sorry. Well, how do we know? Well, look at verses 34 and 35. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. This dude wasn't sorry. He was not sorry at all. He only wanted the plague to stop. So too, the same is true for us. There is a difference between being truly sorry and being sorry because you want the consequences of your actions to stop. The difference between you being sorry, you got caught, and generally sorry, is the person who's sorry that they got caught, they immediately go back to their old ways, like Pharaoh. As soon as the plague stopped, he hardened his heart and would not let the people go. That's the difference. That's a sign of the difference between being generally sorry or sorry that you got caught. Because the person who's sorry that they got caught, I mean, but they're criminals. You see them, they get caught. You know, I'm sorry. And they've been cuffs on them and they've been dragged, you know, off the jail. They're sorry that they got caught. You say, how do you know that? How do you know they're not truly sorry? Because when they get out, they go right back to it. That's the difference. Not saying that, you know, hey, you do something, you're really sorry. It's not saying you won't ever do it again. I mean, that's not realistic. I wish it was. But the thing is that when a person is sorry that they got caught, they immediately go back to their old ways. Let's see what happens. This continues in chapter 10. Now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So Moses and Aaron came in to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself? See, he wasn't humbled. Humble yourself before me. Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail, and they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. Then they shall fill your houses and the houses of your servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Now, God told Moses and Aaron that these plagues are not only for the Egyptians to see his power, but so the Israelites can tell their sons and daughters for generations to come about the greatness of their God. This is what we are supposed to be doing for our children as well. Telling them about the greatness of our God. Yes, some of the plagues the Israelites had to experience. Why? Because before you have a testimony, you must go through a test. They were able to tell them how God brought them through their troubles and how God protected them through the many of the plagues on Egypt. What are you telling your children about God? We need to tell them how God brought us through the good times and bad times. I mean, you know, not that when they're toddlers, you're sitting them down telling them how the budget doesn't add up. I mean, come on. That's just not what you do to little toddlers. But as they get older and they start to grow up and you're telling them about God and how God has been a blessing in your life, how God brought you guys through some tough times. You remember when we used to live over there and we didn't hardly eat and stuff, and God, look where we are now. Look what God has done. See, these are the stories. So God allowed them to experience that. He said, look, I'm allowing you to experience what you experienced in Egypt. So for generations to come, you can tell your sons and daughters for generations how I brought you through. And I'm just wondering, what are we telling our children about God? Are we just keeping everything between mommy and daddy? I mean, you know, there are some things that need to be between mommy and daddy. I think sometimes some kids are involved in too many grown folks stuff. I see some of your kids, you're involved, some of your teenagers and stuff, involved making decisions like they wanted the parents. I had to tell parents all the time at the door. I said, well, you know, see, they're giving me a tough time. I said, whoa. I said, are they paying any bills at that house? Sometimes I got to remind you. See, sometimes you forget. I have to remind you. Are they paying any? I'm like, are they paying any bill? They don't get a right to make those kind of decisions. So the thing is, we should be telling them about the goodness of God and what God has done for us. And this is God said what the Israelites should be doing as well. Look at verses 7 through 11. Then Pharaoh's servant said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not know that Egypt is destroyed? So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go who serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old. I can see Charlton Heston saying this when he's walking out. We will go with our young and our old, our young ones, and you know. I just, you know, one of my favorite movies now. He said, Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. Then he said to them, the Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you, trying to put fear in them. Not so. Go now, you who are men. Serve the Lord, for that is what you desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Finally, Pharaoh decides to let them go. He then called Moses and Aaron in, according to verse 7, and they said that everyone is going, but Pharaoh said, no, the men can go. Moses said, no, our little ones, everyone is going. Pharaoh said in verse 11, no, you who are men can go. Oh, Satan comes to us with this compromise as well. Men, if you want to be sold out for Jesus, if you want to go to church and Bible study and small group, that's fine. But leave your little ones and your families in Egypt. In other words, you go to church and worship, but the kids got soccer and little league and football and basketball. You know that they need to make straight A's, so they got to study, and you know they need their rest. So you go, dad, husband, while our kids are involved in the activities of Egypt. Please understand, parents, this is a subtle attack of Satan that he will whisper in our ears. Now, hey, I know about the activities of Egypt. I know about basketball, AU, soccer, and all that sort of stuff. Then there's band competitions and band practice. Let me tell you something. My son was involved in sports. But one thing we said no to was that those things did not take precedence over church and the things of God. Every now and then, my son missed a Wednesday or a Sunday, but that was the exception and not the rule. I saw one guy at the store. I said, dude, I said, man, where you been? Well, you know, my daughter got all this cheerleading stuff going on, and it's on Sundays and stuff. Cheerleading. Yeah, that'll do it right there. Yeah. That's an ambition in life right there. Cheerleader. Mm-hmm. That's it. I said, okay, bro. Gotta do what you gotta do, don't you? Okay. I've seen parents. Take their children to all of these sporting events, and their kids grow up and they don't know God. Do you know why? Because you trained them. You trained them and raised them to believe that these events are more important than church and God. You didn't know you were doing that. So dad, fathers, men, you can go and worship, believe your families in Egypt. Moses said, no, everyone is going. Oh, we need more men like Moses that says no compromise. Everyone is going to worship. Teenager, you are going too. You have a project due, get it done after school. You know, Wednesdays is church. I don't want to hear that mess. I got a project, so I got to stay back. And all the time they on their computer and the phone and twitting, tweeting, all kind of other mess they got going on. And then when you get home, oh, aren't you finished with the project? Well, no, I needed your help, so I just waited till you got back. That kind of mess, and y'all fall into that mess, especially you moms. You fall into that mess. We need more people like Moses. And no. Everyone is going. Everyone is going. That was not even an issue in our house growing up. I'm talking about my house with my children. That was not even an issue. It was not as well, you know, I need to stay home. It'd be like, excuse me. We'd be in the car. Wait, no. That it was not a non-go. See, you're a different kind of parent today. You give them options and they just, you know, and I just came, but I left them at home. And you wonder why they want nothing to do with God. Let's just say that your child is one of the lucky ones. Let's say they're one of the lucky ones, one in a million, that they make it in professional sports in their field. But if they grow up and make it in the pros and they don't know God, what did you do? All those years you had them skip church because of practice and games, and AU is always weekend stuff, and you trying to chase them around, and AU and you out of church, they out of church, and all this sort of stuff. Let's say he makes it. She makes it. And if they get there and don't know God, oh my goodness. I said, I cannot have that on my conscience. I remember for about 8 years straight, they tried to get my son to play AAU. For about 8 years straight, nope. Because AAU is always on the weekend. They had to travel here, there, all on the weekend. He would miss church all on the weekend. I said, no. I remember one time there was a referee reffing one of his games. And they said, boy, do you play AAU somewhere? And I remember the ref talking to me about, no, nope, nope. Not gonna do it. But you know, he can get AU, get, you know, give me some good competition and all this. So, no. Because I'm not gonna have that on my conscience. I'm not gonna have that. Hey, Pastor Tony, where's your son? I don't see him much around lately. Well, you know, he's got AU, you know. You know, he's pretty good at sports, you know. How would I look? That would not look good. That's what Pharaoh was saying. You know what? Men, you can go. Leave your families. Leave them in Egypt. And I tell you, there are many people and many parents who fall into this trap. Look at verses 12 to 20, because the plot thickens. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt. The Lord brought an east wind over the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought up the locusts, and the locusts went to town, went up all over the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously, there had been no such locusts as they, nor shall there be such after them. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now, therefore, please forgive me my sin only this once and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. Now, in these verses, we see the plagues of locusts came upon Egypt, and there were so many of them, that Egypt became dark as a result of them being in the land, according to verse 15. They ate up everything, including the fruit and all trees and all kind of stuff, to the point where nothing green remained in Egypt. And this is what will happen to us when we are constantly hardening our hearts to God. Locusts will come into our lives, and things that were once fruitful and green will be eaten up. So often at this particular stage, we respond like Pharaoh did in verse 16, I have sinned. But this confession is filled with pride, because notice what Pharaoh said in verse 17, forgive my sin only this once. Only this once, Pharaoh? What about the sins previously committed, Pharaoh? No. Only this one sin. Then he tells Moses to pray for him. Notice that Moses goes out and prays to God. Peter asked Jesus in Matthew 18, verse 21, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Jesus said, nope, 70 times seven. And here we see Moses goes out and prays to the Lord for Pharaoh. And God blew the locusts into the Red Sea, according to verse 19. When Pharaoh saw that the locusts, when he saw that they were gone, he refused to let the people go. I believe this is an area we really need to guard our hearts. When people keep sinning against us, our hearts can become hardened towards people in general. There are many people in marriages with hard hearts because a spouse or a friend or a family member keeps sinning against them, and now they have a hard heart. And I believe that there are many people that are in here right now with a hard heart. You're hardened towards people. You handle people like this, arm's length. You never let people get close because you've been burned, you've been hurt. And so every boyfriend has to pay for the previous ones. Every girlfriend has to pay the price because your heart is hardened. And I see this happen just too many times because folks sin against us and they keep doing it. And then our hearts get hardened. Then everyone else, a friend burned you. So now every friend afterwards have to pay the price because your heart is hardened towards people. We have to be careful when this kind of stuff happens. It could have easily been a situation for Moses to say, you know what, man, I ain't praying for you. You know all you're going to do. And I'm not asking God to stop these locusts either. Because every time you say, okay, you get it to stop, pray to God for me. As soon as it stopped, you did your thing and wouldn't let the people go. So I tell you what, how about we leave? And then as we're going out, I pray God and say, stop the locusts. How about that, Pharaoh? That's not what he did. That's not what he did. That's what I would have done. That's what I would have done. I was like, no, I'm not praying to the Lord for you. Not right now. I said, I tell you what, once we go out, then I tell the Lord, stop the locusts. But that's not what he did. He went out and prayed. What, Moses, what great guy, what great man of God. Look what else happens in verses 21 to 23. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. Good night. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. I love that. This plague was against the sun god Ra, and this darkness was over all the land of Egypt. This is what will happen to us when we want to continue in our hard-heartedness. There will be a darkness in our lives. We can no longer see our way in life as before. A depression will set in, like verse 23 says, no one rose from his place. You're in the bed all day with no lights on, curtain closed. In darkness. I've seen this happen so many times. Folks depressed. Got to go in and all of a sudden folks are opening up curtains and turning lights on. Saying, what's going on in here? Get up out of that bed. That's what happens. This is what happens when we have a hard heart. We end up in darkness. A depression was set in. But notice how the Israelites were in the light. The remedy to when you have a hard heart and darkness is in your life, the remedy is to come where the light is. Where is the light? Where the people of God are gathered together. Being in Egypt, the world will always be dark, but there is always light where the people of God are gathered together and where the light of the word of God is taught. So I'm telling you, if you know some folks that are depressed, that all bummed out and all that sort of stuff, and you see them there in the dark, tell them to come to the light. Come to the light where the light of the word of God is taught. This is the light was where the people of God were. They were in Goshen. Come to the light where the word of God is illuminated. That's the key to getting out of darkness, out of depression, is by coming to the light. And so often what do people do? They stay in the dark. Where have you been lately? Well, I just been depressed lately. Well, why haven't you come to church? Well, I just haven't felt like it. Just haven't felt like getting out of the bed. And the people like to stay in their darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. People like to stay in darkness. But we need the remedy is coming to the light. Coming to where the people of God are gathered together like they were in Goshen. Look at verses 24 to 29. Notice what it says there. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. But Moses said, You must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And even we do not know what we must serve the Lord our God until we arrive there. Let me just keep reading. For the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For in the day you see my face, you shall die. You remember Yul Brynner said that. You remember he said. So Moses said, you have spoken well. I will never see your face again. Wow. Now, in these verses, Pharaoh said, okay. You want to go and worship? Fine. You also want your little ones to go? Okay, good. That is fine too, but leave your flocks and herds in Egypt. In other words, you can go and worship, but leave your money in Egypt. Flocks and herds was the way that they made a living in those days, so it represented money, finances, treasures. And this is another compromise Satan comes to us with. Okay, get involved at church, but don't let them get your money. Satan says, get involved, take your children to Calvary Kingdom and let them have a good time, but leave your money in Egypt. It's time for us to get serious in our walk with the Lord in the area of tithing. You come to church, you have your children with you, but you leave your checkbooks at home. Moses says in verse 26, no, everyone is going, and we are not so much as going to leave a hoof behind. May this be our hearts as well. Once again, we see Pharaoh harden his heart, and I can't tell you how many people have hardened their hearts to God in the area of tithing. It is not good, and it causes you to become angry at the people telling you that you need to stop robbing God. And you say, like Pharaoh did, get away from me. You say it in your heart. And this is, it's just time out. It really is. This has nothing to do. See, God is not after your money. He's after your heart. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Did you know that everything God provides, well, put it this way, everyone who calls this their church or whatever church their church, God provides for that church through those people of that church. I hate it every time we have to go to First Bank up the street to get money to do God's work. I hate it every time. But because people want to disobey and rob God and not tithe, then we got to do that. And it's sad. It's sad. It is really sad. And everybody can give justification now with the internet. You can always find somebody on the internet who said tithing is not for today. And that would be, that's the site. Let me hit the favorite on that. That's the site I'm trying to send that anonymously to Pastor Tony, you know. So it's sad, but it's funny how money comes out of nowhere for Christmas, vacations, summertime, daycare, you name it. You know, whatever we want, it just appears. Let some disaster happen. I was talking to my wife about this. Let any disaster happen. Money comes out of nowhere. Folks feel, oh, my heart, I can't believe they, oh, this disaster. Oh, let me give. Give to the kingdom of God. No. I got bills. You don't have bills during Christmas? Vacation. Summertime. You don't have bills then? Oh, yeah. But, you know, my kids, you know, I know they're brats, but you know, but I just want to get them something that I just, and I, it's just time out. I'm, you know, this is something only God can change your heart about. Only God can change your heart about. And it's something that I see so many people do. They come to church, get involved. Oh, yes. Get involved, got their kids all involved. This is great. I'm learning so much. I'm getting so much. I'm growing in my walk with the Lord, but they leave their checkbook at home. And it's a shame when the average person at this church give between $2.50 and $5. The average person per Sunday. And I just look at that. I say, Lord, they're your people. They're yours. Only you can fix that. They are your folks. Only you can fix that. And it's just time out. Time out for the excuses and, well, you know, I can't afford to. Yeah, you can. Stop. Just stop. Every year, I've been watching it since 2008. Every year at Christmas time, Black Friday and all that sort of stuff, we break records as a nation. Break records. You're out there, boy, I tell you, out there, it rains, sleet, snow, it don't matter. Black Friday, if I need to take a sled out there, I'm gonna be out there, I got some good deals. I gotta go to Coach Outlet and all that stuff, I'm getting a deal. We are a hot mess, is what we are. In the numbers, every year, it's been going up. I mean, we're talking about so many, like 41 billion. It's just crazy numbers that's happening during the holidays. And I say, here's the Lord who saved our souls from death. And we cheat him and rob him. Oh, you know, God understands. He's merciful. He's got a love. And we just make these excuses. It's just time out. It's just time out. And this is, you know, and if you feel guilty, it's probably because you are. I guarantee you, those who tithe here, they don't feel anything at all. They kind of got a smile on their face. And they kind of, you know, just kind of sitting there smiling and, you know, kick back, just saying, go, Pastor Tony. And then those of you who feel guilty, you're like, okay, will you hurry up and wrap this up? You know, it just is what it is. So this is a subtle attack from Satan. Go. He's told him, go. But leave your herds. Leave all that stuff. Leave behind. You can go. Your little ones can go. Your family can go. But leave your herds in Egypt. Leave your cattle in Egypt. Watch out for that subtle attack. Watch out for the subtle attack of the enemy. So what happened next? Well, we got to stay tuned to next week. We can see. Now, let me conclude with this. As we have seen that there are major consequences to us hardening our hearts. In chapter 9, we saw that our hearts can become hard in a bad economy. When we see others not struggling like we are, our hearts can become hard. Our hearts can become hard when something is affecting us physically and others are doing well. We saw how our hearts can become hardened. In chapter 10, we saw two more areas that Satan comes to try to get us to compromise in. Number one, men, you go and worship, but leave your families in Egypt. And number two, you can go and worship, but leave your flocks and herds or money in Egypt. This is the time for us to evaluate our hearts and ask the Lord, have I hardened my heart, Lord, to you in any of these areas? And if so, then we need to repent and get it right with God. We need to just get it right. That's what's the beautiful thing about the Lord. We can get things right with him when we have done wrong. So may our hearts be ready to get these things right with God that maybe we've been compromising in. And God brought it to our attention so we can get it right. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We pray, God, that you would minister that word to our hearts. And Lord, I pray for those who are here who have hardened their hearts and in some of these areas. I pray that you would hear their cry as they repent to you. And Lord, maybe there's people here who have been listening to Satan's compromises, leaving their children in Egypt, leaving their families in Egypt, and leaving their flocks and herds and finances in Egypt. Lord, I pray. Only you can change hearts. You said the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord like the rivers of water. You can turn it whichever way you want to turn it. Lord, these are your people. They're your people, Lord. Only you can work in their hearts and turn their hearts to you. I pray, God, that you will hear their cry, hear their prayers to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.